Welcome to Talking Stations Lounge, where players from all over EVE Online gather to exchange ideas. I'm Matterall. In this program, we sit with another candidate for Council of Stellar Management on the eve of election for CSM 12.
Hi, Giv. Welcome.
Thanks for having me, man.
You have kind of a funny name. I'll let people read that and think about it in their own brain. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. It's been a wonderful winter with warm weather here in the Midwest.
So you're coming out of Goon Swarm Federation, right?
Yes, sir.
How long have you been in Goons?
When I moved to NullSec, I was originally in a Goon Renter Corp. They switched over to SMA. Then I switched to an SMA Corp that was mostly indie. And then when SMA dissolved, we came to Goons.
Oh, so you were SMA before that. Good, I have lots of questions for you. But why don't you tell me, let's start with how you heard about EVE and what you were playing before that, like how that all started.
BTAC-R. Oh. That's how I heard. Well, all right, let me back things up. I had heard about EVE years and years ago, probably maybe 05, 06 ish, somewhere in there. But I heard that it was like a spreadsheet game and it was really complicated and whatnot. And I was running a Battlefield 1942 clan, and so I didn't really have time to be getting into something crazy. Mm-hmm. A couple years later, I was checking out a magazine. I can't remember what it was, it might have been Wired. And saw a write-up on BR and was fascinated.
The Battle of BTAC-R that killed $300,000 worth of ships and lasted 20 hours and killed some 70.
I immediately wanted to be a part of something like that.
So it was the epic scale that was like, yeah, that's it.
Well, it's more the fact that it's influential enough that people are writing magazine articles in serious magazines too, not like, you know, I don't know, pick whatever crappy magazine, Mad Magazine or something, you know, an actual legit magazine that people in the industry.
Like the New Yorker. Or...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was pretty telling to me what kind of a game that they had going.
So you've heard about EVE and then you finally joined when?
Yeah, I got hooked into it and started playing it. Of course, as all good JITA people, there was somebody that was offering $500 million for me to sign up under his account. So I did. He got the Plex, and off I went with some cash.
You sold your soul right off the bat.
Well, yeah. I mean, I wanted to buy what I wanted to buy. I'm sure that I don't remember what I bought all that crap on, but I can't imagine it was anything valuable. First days of EVE's being a new bro.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. So whoever that guy was lost $500 million, but also gained, you know, a billion and a half or a billion and a quarter Plex. So yep. He made out okay, and you did too.
Yeah, I think at the time, I think they were in the 800 ranges. I don't think they had popped over a billion yet.
Yeah, you're right. Back then it was less than that.
Yeah, it was still more money than they had before.
Yeah, that's good. So you joined up in EVE, and then you putz around high sec for a while, or?
Yeah, I didn't spend much time in high sec because I felt that the money making potential was just so low, and I mean, when you get handed $500 million and you start a game and you're making maybe $10 million a night off of some mining or some other junk. And you're getting hassled by people and you accidentally wander into low sec. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just the point to where I was like, man, I have all this money and I'm making crap money. I would rather be doing something more significant. And so I got hooked up with somebody that was running a wormhole corp. A guy was a billionaire many, many, many times over and just wanted some people to come with him to a wormhole. I think we went to a C3. I don't really remember. So I spent a couple of months in there. It was a fun time. I would go back to wormhole living in a heartbeat.
Yeah. I think you probably can, because goons have a lot of interest groups, basically.
Yeah, but special interest groups. Yeah.
That's it, special interest groups. Yeah, so you're in wormholes, and then you kind of came out of there, and I guess NullSec appealed to you after that?
Yeah, so I had to take a break from the game, monetary reasons mostly, and time had something to do with it too, and so I took a couple months off and came back, and they weren't in the wormhole anymore. Found out later that they got rolled by some Russian group.
Quantum Explosion or Blood Union, probably.
I thought it was something with ice in it, or winter or something. I don't remember.
Oh, Arctic Light.
Yeah, those dudes.
Yeah.
I think it was them. I don't know. It was a while ago. Mm-hmm. And so when I came back, there wasn't anything to come back to. Just got recruited out of probably the recruitment channel, and a guy was offering a spot with a Goon Renner Corp that was indie-based. And at that time, I had already gotten into some Exhumers in one of my accounts, and the other one was mostly E-War. So off to NullSec I went, and we were doing okay, but living the life of a Goon Renner at that time with a small corp was difficult for them to...
How were they as landlords?
The landlord wasn't the issue. It was just... And this isn't unusual to anybody, but you know, when you're a renter corp, you're not a member corp. And when you're not a member corp, you don't really have the say of, you know, what needs to go on or what influence should be there. You know, like
sure.
If you're renting an apartment, you can't really tell the landlord at an apartment complex what they should do with their building.
Well, you can say fix the plumbing.
Right. Yeah. Well, aside from that. And so I think what it was they got offered an actual membership in SMA, and they decided to take it. And so we went there. Like most responsible indie people at the time, I decided to start up a multi-box mining crew. And so I brought on 9 more accounts.
Oh.
And was mining with 10 people for a while, and quickly outgrew that corporation. So I jumped to the corp that I'm in now. We have, at the time we had, I think, 6 different heartbeats that each one of us had 10 miners.
So a heartbeat is a name for a human?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you had 60 miners, basically.
Yep. Yep. We could field 60 skiffs or whatever. I think mostly we used procures at that point, just because of money. You know, it's cheap. You lose them, it's not that big of a deal.
Right.
No. And so then when the Iwanisk War started up, I had to go dark again, and now I'm in Delve.
Oh, by going dark, you mean you have to leave the game for a while?
Yeah, well, I didn't. I had a PvP tune that I would take fleets on sometimes, but mostly what I would do is I was setting up the training for when I knew the goons were going to come back, because I knew there was, A, it's not going to last forever, and B, I knew they weren't going to dissolve. And so as far as that, you just got to be patient and wait for the time that everybody comes back together. And so I put myself in a position where I would have a Rorqual pilot and a carrier pilot ready to go when they landed wherever they landed. And so I took my miners. I took my miners offline. They weren't plexed or anything, and left my 2 main accounts on still.
So you were preparing for when the spring came back after the winter.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Yeah. So industry is something that you're interested in, right?
Yeah, it's probably my main function.
What do you build?
Personally, I just popped in an obelisk a few minutes ago, probably a half hour ago.
So that's a freighter?
Yeah, a freighter. That's what I'm building right now. Mostly I help to supply ore for our corp. We do a lot of, we have a cap shop, and so we do a lot of supers and carriers. I think since the Rorqual came out, I think we had built 100, 120 different Rorquals or something like that.
Oh, wow. Did you start building them before they were patched or upgraded?
Yeah, actually, we've had a cap shop for a couple of years. We had it when we were in SMA. But then Iwanis came along, so we had to shutter that. And once we landed back in Delve, we started reopening all that with the engineering complexes that came out. Got those back on.
It's really hard to move all that stuff, right? When you're in your industrial in NullSec, if something goes wrong, it's a pain to move all that stuff out.
Yeah, and fortunately for me, I didn't have a jump freighter or anything that I could move things with, so I didn't get tasked with dragging all that stuff from one side of the world to the other. But
smart man,
we had a Sino chain that was going for three or four days straight of people just shuttling things,
just endless. So this is interesting. It's an interesting time for an industrial guy to be in CSM because you have the mining platforms that are coming out, right?
Yeah, the moon mining drilling platforms.
Well, who knows if they're just moon mining, right? Because they could actually—they're just drilling platforms, but they can say maybe influence moons. Maybe they get tied into PI in a different way. Maybe they, have a whole new thing that we haven't thought about.
Yeah, I kind of see where you're going with this one, but I don't know. I feel that everything that has gone on to this point with what they're starting to replace, basically the POS replacement of what they're going through, the function of what's taking place of it isn't so much as changing. So in other words, they're just bringing in structures that'll consolidate several things, but you're still kind of doing the same thing. The stations are being taken over by Fortizars, where you can dock things up and store stuff and do clone work and basically everything you can do in a station. You got engineering complexes that are taking place of all the arrays that you would have, the assembly arrays that are out there.
I don't think
that it's their intention personally to go crazy on it. I think it's just going to replace moon mining.
So, and if they do, they would iterate on it later. Like their priority is to replace POSs. I know that's a priority. They said it was. Yeah. Fozzie said in front of a lot of people, this time next year, we'll have replaced the POSs. And so by FanFest, I imagine that's their goal. So you may be right there. And if they were to do anything, I imagine it would be when they upgrade it later and give it more functionality, if anything.
Yeah, and if you look at what all was in POSs and what was being used in POSs, how much have not already been replaced and accounted for in other systems? Outside of moon mining, I think pretty much everything's really been taken care of, right? You even have the defensive systems. You could say the jump bridges and the Sino beacons, yeah. Those haven't, but those could easily be, anchored somewhere close to a citadel. But citadels have the defenses now that are just as powerful, if not more, than a POS defense. So I guess it depends on how you fit it, right?
Well, the nature of it's a bit different. The citadels don't defend themselves, but yeah, essentially you're right. All that kind of stuff is already rolled into citadels and engineering platforms or complexes, they're called. What do you think of those, the engineering complex?
So this my response to that is going to kind of bridge into some of my thought about what I'd like to achieve, but I think that it's not deep enough. Like, I really feel like things can go a lot deeper and be a lot more complex, but still maintain integrity of newer players being able to, thrive and achieve in the game. I'd like to see some more options come up. I think that rigging these complexes out is really difficult because you're talking for a Sotillo, it's about 40 to 45 billion worth of stuff just to get one tech one rig.
Yeah.
And there's not a lot of those rigs. And so from a production standpoint, there are several different ways that it can be improved. But I think that, when we get talking a little bit more, I think there's a lot more that can be done.
Okay. Going back to industry, I always ask this, I always wonder like how, what it is you build. You're saying your corporation, you do most of the mining and stuff, but your corporation builds caps and super caps, and you're familiar with that kind of building. Have you done T2 or T3 building?
No, I haven't. We got a guy in our corp that kind of handles that for us. It seems like that's pretty much all he produces. So I haven't gotten in the way of the T2 stuff. A lot of it has to do with the supply of the T2 materials.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm not an explorer, so I can't really speak to how some of that stuff is obtained and whatnot. But being in Delve, we're not to the point to where we have the supply chain for Tech 2 materials, I feel, as Tech One stuff or ships per se. It's easier to import that stuff as Tech Two than it is to build it out there.
Yeah, right. The Tech One building is basically minerals. The Tech Two building requires moon materials, which have to be processed in a certain way in order to get the components that you build T2 materials with. And it also has a certain rare ore that goes into it that's only used in T2 pretty much. And then T3 is explore loot, basically. You have to go exploring for the stuff that's used in T3. So it's kind of, there's different kinds of specializations in industry. It's not just one, mine, get a blueprint and build something. But you've played other games, right, where they have crafting.
So yeah,
what's different about crafting and building in Eve?
So what's a feather in my hat is that I played Star Wars Galaxies for many years.
Well, I'm familiar with that game too.
And I would contend that that was one of the near perfect craft. The original way that the crafting was done was one of the near perfect ways that crafting has been done, in my opinion.
Yeah. Actually, I played SWG for the crafting almost as much as anything else.
It was fantastic, wasn't it? I mean, the thought of having to worry about quality of the materials you're putting into, the quality of your work, whether you have the right – what is it? There was an apron out there that you had to have, a drug you had to take.
Yeah, plugins, a drug. There were a lot of factors that you could help your cause by. And then you could also customize your stuff so that it was – yours, and then it was sold in your shop and it had your name on it and it had your stats on it. And so it was very self-rewarding about what kind of, how close you could get to perfection for a certain item.
Yeah. And people would come from literally across the galaxy in Star Wars Galaxies to buy your stuff. Like they would tend to spend that. I got to go here to get this because this guy's blasters are the best. Is that just how it was?
Yeah.
Talk about branding in that game, your personal branding. It was, I think that the only reason that game didn't succeed is because it was just too far ahead of its time. I think it's ahead of its time if it was released right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I really do. All the aspects of it, the tree that they had, the skill tree was great idea. You know, being able to flavor the month different combinations and whatnot. It was fantastic. It was a great game. But anyway, where you're going.
Actually, I wanted to, because I thought crafting in there, what was really nice is that you could build something small. Like I needed to build a certain ammunition or a certain, not ammunition, but I needed to build a certain rifle. Well, I would know how to build it, right? Because you gain that skill as you go up. And then you could actually go and collect the small amount of materials and build yourself one rifle. And it was easier, I think, than I guess if you manufactured, then you needed to take that and go build it in a factory, and that would take longer and that sort of thing, if I remember this correctly. It seems like Eve is much more an assembly line. Like you have to build up an assembly line. So you're really only going to focus on one thing, whereas in crafting, you could build anything anytime you needed that piece of equipment. But that doesn't scale very well in Eve. Like if you're going to set up for building a battleship, you might as well build 10 because it's the same amount of work.
Sure. Yeah. But I mean, there were aspects of that. I mean, they had factories in Star Wars Galaxies. You'd create an item, and instead of creating the item, you would create a blueprint. Right. And that blueprint would have runs. It was, if I remember how it worked, it wasn't really any different than how Eve's runs and blueprint systems work. And materials really made the difference on what the attributes of the item you crafted was.
Yeah. Wow. I think my memory is totally scrapped then, because it seems a lot harder to build in Eve than it did in, like, I loved resourcing and crafting in that game, maybe because it was a little character running around and doing a lot of it. But it seems like it's a lot more, Eve is geared up for people that have kind of, you can almost have, it's more like group manufacturing than it is single person manufacturing.
Yeah, I think the way they control that though is more through, like, I'm going to speak for what I know, right? So cap shop building, like we can build 40 components per run, and I only have 10 runs per character, and so I can only build 400 items for a ship. Well, if you're building let me get the numbers right. If you're building a hell, I think I needed 610 capital cargo bays, maybe, or no, capital drone bays.
Let's say okay.
I can't do that, and it takes me 2 days to do that myself. And so when you can increase the amount of time the quantity of items that it takes to build these ships, and then decrease a person's ability to pump those out in a timely manner.
Yeah.
You force it to be a team-oriented thing.
Yeah, or you risk losing more time because you realize like, oh, I just came up short on this material by 3, and now I got to go to the market and get it, or I've got to put in 3 and wait that time. So it seemed like more stopping points when you do manufacturing, especially T2 manufacturing, which is what I did.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's why
it's
harder.
I think those are all good, but...
Yeah. I suppose I'm thinking about T2 building versus T1, because T1 is just minerals and blueprints, so you could just make whatever you want, but...
Plug and chug, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's cool. Like, industry... Did you like the Krius expansion? The one where industry was unified into one interface?
I'm not familiar by the expansions by names. I've never been good with names.
Oh, well, did you, maybe you weren't here before, the old style of interface for industry, it used to be quite a bit different.
I probably wasn't doing the actual manufacturing then. Most of what I did was just gather up ore and put it on the ore buyback.
Oh, right, the resourcing part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it used to be, I guess when they unified everything into that one interface where you could drag your blueprint in and see how much it was going to take to build. And, you know, that was all of it kind of came together. That was a really big, big change for industry people because they could now get away from spreadsheets and actually just use in-game tools to predict how much things were going to take and how much money it was going to take. And, mm-hmm. and they've gone even further in that way of letting you buy, you know, if you're building inside of a shop that has a market, you can pretty much buy the materials you need on the spot and all that kind of stuff with group buys and stuff. So do you like the direction that industry's gone in the last few years?
Yeah, I think that it's been, like you said, the updates and whatnot have been focused on making it easier but also bringing some meaningful power to it. The engineering complexes, it's a great idea for the fact that you have these buildings now that you do have to defend in some cases. If you're in pretty safe space, you don't or whatnot. But I think that what it's done is it's made it to where, like you said, there is a team building out. There is a team conglomerate build kind of an aspect to it. But you can do that in different stations. You can do that with different qualities. So there is more variety to what you're able to do. I do think that Eve could be improved is in the complexity of what's being produced. If 30 guys across New Eden decide that they all want to build a Armageddon, every one of those Armageddons are going to have the exact same stat when it comes out. And so they all have the exact same value, whether you bought it on one side of the galaxy or the other. And that's okay. But I think that in a game like this where your fittings are so customized and the attributes that you have when you go into PvE or PvP, that you've customized what you wanted, if there was a way that we could bring the same sort of complexity to the end result attributes on a crafting system, I feel like that would only increase the intelligence that it would take to fit up ships, the difficulty that it would take to be the master of things, but it would also add a flavor to it that would make people want to spend some more time understanding how the fittings come together. Now, currently I can go grab a doctor and I can just get on eFit and I can find some fittings, right? And I can just fit it up and, you know, some guy gets on YouTube and says, oh, I did really good with this fit. I can have a fit and go do the same thing that he did. I don't know if that makes me a better player. I don't know if that improves me in any way, But if you can add another layer of attribute quality, you know, you have your peak layers, you have your peak stats that would come out in Armageddon. But if I use high quality materials and some other guy uses low quality materials, my Armageddon should be better than his.
Right. Not all Armageddons are created equal. If you have a variation in the results, how good the results are of your building.
Sure. And to that, even that then also can be expanded to, if you have a fleet doctrine that you're working on and that fleet doctrine needs to have a lot of cap. Guardians, perfect example. Guardians, anything that takes a cap, chain, logi, right? Those kind of ships, it would be ideal if you could maximize their capacitor recharge. Those skills or those attributes in that ship are more important than some of the other ones, right? Mm-hmm. And so if you have the ability and the layering to get higher quality materials that make your Guardians better than everybody else's, now you can tailor your fit in these fleets to, you know, fit that. Whereas opposed, if you want a ship, maybe you're going to have tons of Guardians. Maybe your alliance says for every DPS ship I want, or for every two DPS ships, I want one Logi. Well, maybe you don't need the cap then, because you're going to have this giant cap chain, and maybe what you want is more hit points on the thing. Okay.
So you see it as a way of getting variation.
Yeah. And it just, all that would do is expand people's ability, expand people's experimentation, and make things more unique.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. I was the opposite opinion when I first got here, because I thought, like, finally, I don't have to stress about, am I getting the best one? Because everybody always seemed to buy, at a certain point, everybody always seemed to buy the same perfect one that somebody was building. And everything else was just kind of trash. Like, nobody bought any of that stuff. So it was a huge, like, you buy the best or you don't use it at all. Like, you do something else.
The fun thing with Galaxies was, and they were smart enough to realize that they needed to build decay into their systems, their things. But we have a natural decay, and that is ships going boom.
Yeah. I do miss that, though. I think maintenance fees were a good sink and helped a lot to – it was weird, though. People became precious with certain equipment. They would put it away and have, like, their daily drivers. If, like, car people talk in these terms, when you have a car that you'd drive every day, and then you'd have your weekend driver, which was the special car that was decaying, you know, a bit more. So you would save your weekends for that car, but your daily driver would be the one that you could bang up. So people in game would have daily equipment, and then they would have, like, special PvP equipment that they would dress up. So they'd have to run home, dress up, and then go fight, and then go back, get back in their day clothes, and go and, you know, do pedestrian PvE and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's what we do when we get on late at night on the weekend and we're drinking and we don't want to lose the bling ship, right?
Right. That's probably why we switch out from, you know, slaved clones to clones without implants when we're just going to go skirmish or something. So it still happens.
Or if you're me, you get halfway there in a cap fleet and forget that you never switched out your pod.
Yeah, that happens all the time.
We went and a couple of guys wanted to whelp carriers. Some carriers that they had, and so we went over to it was test space not too long ago, and CO2 actually responded at that point, and I forgot that I didn't switch out my clone, and so it was a bit of an expensive loss.
That to me, it seems like you're right. I think the building part of it was, now there's a real challenge of authorship and ownership to the work that you're putting into, the care that you're putting into something. The obsessive compulsive part of me is like, oh no, I can avoid that here because everything's the same, so I don't have to stress about waiting till I get the perfect ingredient. I can just make it. It's going to always be the same. But there is that lure of perfection that you're after that Eve doesn't really have. You just produce it and there it is.
Sure. And I have two, like, I've been saying this for a while. I believe that people play video games for two reasons. And the reason, first reason and the main reason is because it takes them to a place where they can't be on a permanent basis. or they're unable to achieve, right? Like you, like there was that superhero MMO. Like, the name escapes me for the second. What was it, Marvel's Heroes? City of Villains, City of Heroes, that one that went out?
Yeah, you're right.
You know, you can't be Superman. You know, so one of the reasons you play video games is that, but the other reason I feel like is to be challenged.
So we're going to say
you want to be challenged.
That is DC Heroes or whatever, so that people don't get mad at us for confusing Marvel and DC.
Catch some hate mail. I couldn't remember which is which.
We'll get some hate mail.
they can hate mail me.
That's right.
Batman's the best superhero ever. There, I said it.
Okay, good. Now, if you're a DC fan, this is your candidate. Anyways, nice talking to you. I love industry. I could talk about it all night. Obviously, not very informed about my memory of SWG and how things were crafted there. But I think industry is like, I wish there was more levers to pull that you could manipulate something. I don't know. Maybe you have more savings or something. It does feel a little cumbersome to build in this game, at least at the scale that I want to build. You'd probably have to have some pretty good lieutenants to do a lot of the sous chefs, right, to kind of bring in the ingredients and prepare for you to come in with your hands and build the final product and stuff. But it's hard to do that kind of thing and not impose on people.
Well, yeah, and at that, there's so much ISK overhead that's involved in it too that you can't do high skill, high grade things, because I mean, how many people have $100 billion to put a Sotillo with a good rig on it? So you're gonna have to probably get with other people to do those things.
If you want those bonuses, yeah. Or you can control your destiny a bit more and have just less bonuses. And it really all comes down to ISK per hour and, you know, how much are you spending versus how much. I'm sure that in my building career, I came out ahead. In my market trading career, I came out behind. Because of the taxes and the time wasted and all that kind of stuff.
So that was the one thing I actually made okay money with. I found out that in, was it Sobiseki that's right outside Ajita, people would put ore up, would put Veldspar up on the market for cheaper than what the buy orders were in Ajita. And so I would just load up orcas and ship in Veldspar all day to Ajita.
So you just transfer it over and make some money.
Most of the time, it's 2-3 jumps, and that's it.
Yeah. Yeah, I did that inter-regional hauling as well. When I didn't have much going on, I would just research prices and haul stuff back and forth. But you can get trapped that way. There's a lot of scams. And I ran into one of those, but I knew how to. I never actually got burned, but I did see how scams worked, where they'd create a contract in one place, and you'd be like, ooh, that's really lucrative, and I can sell it over here. Actually, it wasn't a contract. It was it a contract?
Probably a high-sec island.
Yeah, and, you know,
that got me once.
Yeah, and you buy all the stuff, and then you start shipping it over there, and you realize that that order got filled because the person saw you buy it is the same person that was requesting it in the other hub, so he immediately fills his own order, and you're stuck with a bunch of equipment, and you just unload it at the next stop for a reduced price so you can get your liquid cash back to do the next thing. And that guy just got a bunch of stuff for low price delivered.
Yeah, but I think that's where Eve is its absolute genius, is the market and how things work. The economy in this game is just, it's so good. It's so good.
Yeah. Well, cool, man. It was nice talking to you.
Yeah, you too. I appreciate the time.
Hi, Give Good. I'm going to finish your name. I almost fell into it. But good luck with your campaign.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.